Okay, hello. We are two speakers, and this is Ole Christensen. ITU University, Information Technology University, was established only 12 years ago. And it's not a technology university in a normal sense. It's a multidisciplinary university. And I'm representing the university coming from theater and performing arts. Okay. And our presentation here is us coming from outside the radiant community, suggesting or showing you some of our investigations and see if you can find any correlations or any interest in how to overlap. So, our interest, my personal history is 25 years in theatre. And you imagine theatre, that is a stage designed with light, and it constructs the shape of the space and the experience. And from that on, I moved into installation art, where you construct the experience of the audience as they move. And if you look into that and go from the stage experience, where you use the outer environment to construct a view, mainly as you have been shown here, and you work in radiance, and you go into installation art, then you have the audience moving, which means when the light is there, it changes, and it all changes all the time, right? And you start to talk about light as promoting certain movements, or having you move in a certain way or go to certain places, right? So our interest was then in both in the experience of light as you move and move through space, and then adapted to that, how the environment adapts and changes, just like daylight change. And then the next step was then sort of adaptive architecture that had a constant relation between the movement of humans and the experience of that, and then the change in the architecture. And that could be transparency for daylight, it could be different ways of having light. Okay.
Yeah, and my background is in, I'm a computer scientist originally, and then I moved into modern dance, and I'm doing interactive scenographies where we combine infrared tracking with lighting systems and projections on stage. So I'm interested in real-time systems, and I'm assisting Ken in this research where we are looking into how lighting simulations can inform lighting designs and possibly in a dynamic real-time fashion. We've just dived into it, and the first thing we did, I think, or one of the first things we did was to, of course, construct our own little HDR pipeline. We wanted to see how the experience of light, as we know, when we walk through spaces, can be documented and looked a bit on the work done in the field. And of course, the most obvious thing for us would be to start seeing how we could merge simulation that we know with the registration of light fluctuations as you move. So we started with a mirror ball. To try and see if we could experience what's the experience of light through movement. We want to see if some of the techniques that you guys are using, or that is used in the field of simulation or registration of light, can be internalized as an experiential tool that humans can perform on their own on site. So one thing we did was, of course, to start with the mirror ball. We then moved on and tried with a styrofoam ball. And as you can see here, this is in the office environment. So we are making these kinds of experiential studies, which are very basic, but are a precursor for deciding how to integrate software later on. So what we're doing here is just a classical styrofoam ball. Again, there's a lot of people who've been working with this, but there's a very different experience of lighting quality changes on that material, of course. Um, here are two different scenes with three different objects that each can tell the human observer something about the qualities in a subjective sense. But the idea is then to combine it with the HDR light blending tools, and in this way try to see if we can make some enactable acts that you can do as a human to sense and compare lighting situations that are compatible with the techniques used by computers when you do image-based lighting and things like that. So we are trying now to tune our experience using performative techniques to see if we can then come up with a toolbox that's usable for architects that where they can move from own experience and sort of bridge better into to the simulation world and back again by sharing certain some very simple what you call artifacts, like for instance the mirror ball and the styrofoam ball, and then that let that be the bridge between simulation and experience. So again, for you guys, this is probably on the technical side baby steps, but we are really trying to see how these things can be used by practicing architects as a performative tool. So here's just some HDR sequences. Those were the first sequences that I rendered. I'm using PSF tools, which has an overlap with this community. I guess there's at least some of the names and publications that are involved in both the communities, and we started using that because it can give us a photometric calculation. And these were just the first renderings I did, and of course, as you can see, and which is probably a first experience, is that when you start doing this kind of captures of daylight, you realize how much it fluctuates. I mean, the first realization is that when you run a time lapse is that this is certainly not as constant as we experience it. So using the camera as this kind of, what you call it, visual aid, it's much easier it's apparent how much fluctuation you have on a normal day. So these are the kinds of things that we take from your world, and we want to simply just make into an artifact and make that artifact interact with software. So here are some other shots from our office, just the first things we did. And I really like how I get a nice indication of where my data is invalid. So that's the PSF tools, that's kind of how we want it. But the good thing about these kinds of things that are photographic is that they share a history with cinematics and photography. So in that way, images like this have an experiential quality as well as a measurement quality. That's why we're interested in HDR photography and interested in later on to jump into radiance, because there you can produce things where both the engineer who's interested in the measurement qualities and the architect who's interested in the experiential qualities can share the same medium. It's basically just a matter of how you map the image, if you use false colors or not. So that's the beginning. This is sort of already old hat. What we're thinking about is if there are certain ways that we can take this kind of registration and run it through some using artistic interpretation from media-based arts or from software art to see if there are certain ways of mapping lighting fluctuations that make sense for us as an experiencing designer from that viewpoint in a design perspective. And you can take the registration and you can see it in different ways because it is just simply video in some sense. So there are certain ways of doing that, and one of my friends called it the spatio-temporal imaging. I don't know, I haven't looked further into it, but Misha is a software artist who's done some very simple things also. In itself, it's quite simple. This is then tone mapped, of course, or it's either tone mapped or auto-exposed, but you could imagine this being the full range of luminosities And this is one form of representation that we are moving into, which is capable of informing of us about some of the about the range of color shift and luminance fluctuation throughout the 24 hours day. I mean, this is the time moving this way, and you could imagine that it had even the just like the times moving here, like the hour of day and hour of night visible. So these forms of representation are capable of showing the more subjective interpretations of the data, and this subjectiveness is what we are looking for. There's another technique which is also quite simple, and that's Jason Salavon. Maybe some of you know this guy. He's in one of the classic computer or software artists, and he's working a lot with image capture. And I love this example here. We are also going to take some of our captures, and we're going to run them through this kind of averaging process. He's dominant here. He's averaged the three daily shows from the US. And you can see that that's a very, very good means of showing, of course, what is the mean of a certain change. So this is, of course, with graphics and so on, but you can imagine this on a daylight scene. This is a way of showing what is the average day, another way of, by combining the renders afterwards. So we're inspired by this way of thinking also, with doing simple image averaging. And then the interesting aspect is, of course, you can do that linearly, but there are certain cycles. Of course, there's the sun cycle, but there could be other cycles that are relevant, where you want to see what is cyclical and what is the deviation from the cyclical. So this is, of course, there are certain cycles in this because they are shows that have a certain length, so you can imagine them as loops. There are certain other loops that we have in our experience. There is the sun cycle, there's the different cycles that would be in lighting systems that turn on and off. There are certain habits we have, then we go to lunch and so on. So in a building design and simulation, using these averaging techniques, just for analytical purposes, finding phases in that repetitive patterns and layering them on top of each other is also a way of abstracting some of this and representing some of the more cyclical natures in how we experience life. Yeah. And when we do that, then we're back in some of the things that I'm working with. We are also considering making a HDI image player that has a very simple trick, that is that you can select a certain keyframe. You say this is the frame that is the normal situation. I want to see the deviations, and then just minus that. It's a simple frame difference and technique that is used a lot in tracking. I use it myself in Recall Performance Group, where I work with infrared tracking. And simply just taking a picture of the empty space and subtracting that will give me the variation from that point in time. So that's also something we want to make, that there's a certain player that has this kind of abstraction layers on image sequences to use in an analytical context. We believe that many of these techniques, as simple as they are, because they have an immediate aesthetic outcome, are a really good bridging tool in discussing design considerations from analytical material between engineers and designers. So there are some representation formats here that, however abstract they may seem right now, can act as a very a sort of emerging bridging point between different disciplines in a design process. And that we've experienced a lot of curiosity from the architecture, the architects that we're working with. And we feel that there's a specific need for engineers and architects who work from the aesthetical and from the numerical point of view to have sort of a place where they can experience fluctuations that talks both to the measurement qualities and to the subjective qualities. That's why we're going into these very abstract ideas of how to represent these things. Yeah. Image-based lighting, I think I'll skip a bit over that because you probably know what it is. We have now pan tilt head so we can make these kind of sky domes in a very high resolution. One of the things that we're interested in specifically in within this context is if there's a possible move in light design with the new types of lighting fixtures that you can build with LEDs that we can light on a second or third order reflection. That in the lighting, let me put on the image. Here's an example. It's inspired by Daniel Rybakken, who's a Norwegian installation and light artist. And what he's done here is that you can see on top there's a reflection, a diffuse reflection from incoming sunlight, and this down here is actually an LED panel embedded in the wall doing the same. It's very simple, but it's a radical shift in lighting design because you simulate things that are not the primary light source but the secondary reflection or third reflection, so on and so forth. And a rendering tool like Radiance can inform this kind of design radically because it's an open tool chain and it might be possible to go in there and just only render reflections or only render reflections of reflections and so on and so forth. And we feel that that particular direction is almost a necessity now with the new types of lighting fixtures because there's all kind of aesthetic qualities, but with aesthetic qualities come also discussions of well-being in artificially lit environments. How can you integrate daylight and artificial light? So that's a taste of what we're working with. We, as you can imagine from this, we are just starting. So it's a 3-year research project, and we would love to integrate some of your work and just starting to dive into it. So, yeah. Feel free to ask any questions or give any comments.
I can see a big application in the averaging, that particularly with post-occupancy evaluation of kind of the urban forms.
Yeah.
Particularly if you look and say that tracking the sun in hot climates, say like in the Middle East, where looking at where the way people choose paths and the way they move through space, it would be really interesting to see kind of averaging if there are kind of certain paths that people take and routes, and what time of year that and time of day, because temperature and humidity can vary greatly, and see how that informs, say, kind of not just say street grids, but widths and things like that. I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah, because the techniques, as I talked about, I mean, from a computer science point of view, this is extremely simple. It's basically taking some of the Photoshop filters you already know and just applying them on the scale of time, right? So,
yeah.
But it's nice to hear that that tool is somehow missing, or it.
Well, I mean, there's lots of kind of I think it's called like space syntax software where you have lots of agents that move around and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's always the way that they have certain goals to go to. So there's this goal here, so they move this way. See like ants running around.
Yeah.
As an actual fact, what would be nice to do is I would say, well, this is how people move in this climate and this built form.
Yeah.
And that informs the computing model as opposed to the other way around, where often people don't move
as the simulation.
Because there's a variable missing.
Which
I think really interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
And we would love to talk to you later in email us.
Thank you.